get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PBOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing, leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh yeah!
All right, if you want to help out the show, there are several ways to do so. Go to anchor.fm/PVOTN. You can help out monetarily, because I can't talk, or you can find us on Patreon, where we have 3 levels of awesomeness. Share the awesomeness on your socials. Let's get on with the show. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is
Brian S. Dennis, with an S stands for the Bone Collector.
Oh, I kind of like where this is going to go. Now, we will be your guests. Guys, I can't talk today, so let's try that again. We will be your guides on this quest to level up your awesomeness. We will nerd out. We will get sidetracked. And we will have a great time doing it. This is how the show is going to go. First, we'll cover our topic of the week. We'll discuss, theorize, give our 2 cents along with a penny for our thoughts. Then we'll each have our own topic to cover with each other. These will be referred to as our tasks. And Brian, I have a brand new tat today.
Oh, do you? Do you have both a brand new physical tat?
Well, or not yet, but hopefully in the future I will get one of those.
So. Perfect. Well, I'm really excited for your brand new tat. As always, I have my riddle of the week. But as we get to those things, we definitely want to make sure that we give honor to what is to a point in time of the year, yes, that's very near and dear to my heart, which is this. So if you've been listening to our podcast for a little bit, we generally have our monthly themes to kind of guide our podcast for the month of October. We talked about our favorite horror, Thanksgiving, things we're thankful for. December, we did a year in, year best. December, we're doing some different things about some of the new shows that came out. So now that this is our first recording in the month of February. If you don't know, now you know, February is Black History Month. And with that being said, we're going to feature for each of our PVTON, Prevenge of the Nerds podcast episodes, an actor or actress that we feel of color, African-American heritage, we feel really just, we're fans of. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of things we do with this show is based in the area of sci-fi, adventure, comics, but you know, we're fans of entertainment, we're fans of movies, and so we're going to talk about those in a bit. So we're going to get one started here in just a moment, but that is something I'm very, very excited about, because again, while this is Black History Month, remember, Black history is American history.
Amen to that. Now, Brian, but first.
Yes.
What if somehow Mace Windu is the Jedi that saved Grogu?
And by Mace Windu, do you mean the Jedi Master who played by the indomitable Samuel Jackson, where the L stands for? Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I mean, maybe. That's yes, the Mace Windu I know.
Yes. So number one, if Mace Windu was a Jedi that somehow spearheaded saving, and again, if you're curious what we're talking about, one of the great things of the Book of Boba Fett this week is that we got you through Grogu's limited experience. You see what he saw as him being saved by a Jedi from being attacked. So we're unclear which Jedi saved him. There are probably only a few possibilities unless they decide to add in a completely new character. And I think Samuel Jackson as Mace Windu would make perfect sense. That would explain a lot of the cloak and dagger being hidden away. It also would explain why, through the events of episode three, why Mace is no longer with Grogu. But I think that would be great if he was, number one, was the one that saved him. Number two, the only thing, reason I think that maybe it wasn't him, because you just know that if Grogu was saved by Mace Windu, that character would be way more swagged out. There is a shocking lack of flair color, especially the color purple, from Grogu's carrier that you feel would have totally been tricked out if you'd been saved by the baddest Jedi around. That's right. I'm talking about Mace. Just shut your mouth. Yes, sir.
I like it. Yes, he did get thrown out a window and shot with the electricity, but I think there is a way. And you know what? Maybe we will prevenge that if they don't tell us that. The next episode.
I like that.
Now, Brian, what are we talking about today? I know we're doing a tribute to Black History Month, but which actor are we going to kind of go over our favorite movies from today?
So when we look at this, and some folks probably know where a person we're going to probably end with over the month of February, but to kick it off, you and I, it's for, and again, Bradley and I, you may can tell by the amount of tangents we do, we try not to have this be a heavily scripted podcast. We try keep things very light and free form. I think that's when our discussions are the most interesting. So we kicked around. I think we both came to the same place of who we'll start with, and that is Denzel Washington.
Yes. So we are going to go over our favorite movies. I got some honorable mentions. I'm sure you do, yep, too.
Absolutely.
And I think I go first this week.
It is your week, sir. And it'll be interesting if we have anything that wound up in the same place. I will be keeping track to see if we have any overlap.
Sounds good. So, man, I went through his IMDb. And yep. So many good stuff. And for me, I mean, Philadelphia and stuff like that, I didn't make my list.
Sure.
Great movies, but I just don't remember anything from it. So,
okay.
Denzel Washington, he's never really been a franchise actor. He really has, really one. And that's
The Equalizer. Which is now being ran by Queen Latifah, who's doing a great job, by the way.
See, I couldn't get into that. I tried.
Really? I loved her as an Equalizer.
Yeah, maybe I'll give it another shot. Definitely give it another shot. So my honorable mentions would be 10 through 6.
Yep.
10 is Virtuosity. Russell Crowe and Denzel Washington at the height of their 90s.
Yes.
Great cyberpunk. I think it even takes place in 1999.
I believe it does as well.
Right. You know, after Virtuosity, my next honorable mention is one Crimson Tide. Great movie. Again, it's flexing Denzel's chops. Now,
I would love for Denzel just to make my Starbucks order. You know, you talk about how we would have Morgan Freeman narrate your life. Denzel just has so much smoothness. Could you imagine if he just did your, he ordered your Vente? He would just do it in such a smooth way. You know, it would be free. But yeah, sorry. Right, please go ahead.
Absolutely. After Crimson Tide, I've fallen. Fallen with Denzel. I have found that when I was putting my list together, I really like Denzel as a cop.
Yes. He plays a cop a few different times. Yes, sir.
He just does that. I'm smarter than everybody else in the room.
Yep.
Cop, routine better than probably any other actor out there.
Right. And so, by the way, he's also rarely a beat cop. He's always like this, this face of the force or the cop that no one wants to be. He also rarely ever has a partner. It's just go do you. Just tell us when you catch him. That's fine.
Right. And then so after Fallen, I have Inside Man, which him and Clive Owen, amazing. Other than that, number 6 is Training Day.
I am surprised it's that low.
You know,
Training Day was an honorable mention, really.
Yes it was. And It was so close. It went back and forth with my number five.
And I will tell you, if I, my son just went to work, I will tell you what he gets because he just walked by. They said he was heading to work. He and I redid my list. I'm sorry, I'm still in a bit of a tie. Good. But when he hears that Training Day did not make your top five, you're going to have some explaining to do. He is for real. He may have to pop in a little bit and be like, wait a minute, explain your choice. But Training Day is number six for you. Okay.
All right. Number six. I know, you know, in my theory, my reasoning is I remember more from the other movies.
Okay.
And the other movies that I picked, I watched more. Training Day, I think I've only seen once or twice. It's a great movie. I never get back around to it.
Okay.
So, all right. My number five, he takes on the role of coach. Remember the Titans. It is probably one of my all-time favorite sports movies. Remember the Titans for me is ranked right up there with Field of Dreams.
Yep.
It's probably my favorite football movie, hands down. What's the other actor's name in there? I can't think of
which character the coach?
The assistant coach.
Yeah. I can't remember him, but I do remember he's also played in Armageddon as Bruce. He played the character Chick. He was Bruce Willis's right hand man, but I cannot think of his character. Had, again, of the connections. Very, very early episode for one Haley. I'm never going to choose a hero.
Hayden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long last name starts with P.
Hayden Panettiere. There we go. We'll get there. Yes. Yes.
Awesome. That's my number five. Number four is he gets a little hot in this one. It's Man on Fire.
Yes.
Man on Fire. Such a good movie. Oh, hang on a second. I got a little cameo. All right, kiddos, is it bedtime?
This is your first warning. If you get to three, I'm going to bed.
Okay, well, you're probably going to end up in bed tonight, okay? I'll come give you a kiss when I'm done, okay? Because we still have a lot of podcasts to do. Sorry, we get to talking, and it's been fun, so, and I need it today. So tell Brian good night and give me a kissy.
Good night!
Good night. Give your dad a kiss.
I love you, baby girl.
Everybody see your bald spot.
Okay, you can see my bald spot.
Actually, you can't see a bald spot from my perspective, bro, so you're good. Okay. And there's a reason why Brian always leans back as we're doing this, because back here is not a good look.
Right.
It's like this big.
Yeah, it's getting bigger every time.
It's like this side of my face.
He calls that the Leia spot, because it's only because of being your dad that the hair is running away.
And turning gray.
Yeah, I think the gray is working for you, bro.
Your beard has been gray for years.
It has been gray for years. All right, Leia. Good night, baby girl. Love you.
Good night. Good night, Brian Dennis.
Good night, Leia.
Man on Fire, I really like how he was all over the place.
Sure.
And he had to play so many different cards on that. My number three is a little movie that he did with Ashley Judd where he, again, the smartest man in the room.
Yep.
Bone collector. There's even a really bad TV series with the guy from Grimm for a season, which I don't remember.
I actually like the show, but I do got to give you one quick correction. It is not Ashley Judd. It is Angelina Jolie.
What is it? Oh, is it really Angelina Jolie?
Yes.
Okay.
Is
Ashley Judd was Kiss the Girls with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Gotcha. Okay. So Bone Collector, my number three. My number two, I kind of feel like I've seen it before. Have you ever got that feeling that you've done something and you're doing it again and it just...
I don't know. Is there a cat that walks by?
Right.
And you're just really unsure? Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe a door turns into a brick wall.
You know what I'm talking about.
It may be that feeling of deja vu.
Yes. Now, Brian, have you ever experienced vuja de? The feeling that you're doing something that you have no idea what you're doing.
I call that being awake. I call that consciousness.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing here. Yeah.
Yes. Deja Vu, I made it so high up because that is the movie that I have I used to watch that movie on repeat.
Got you.
I love that movie. They should have done the sequels. I know they probably would have been like straight to DVD.
Right.
Like Deja Vu 2. Like you didn't see
we're doing it again. Coming. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you do a sequel to a movie called Deja Vu, is it like Deja Vu?
Right.
Yeah, like what do you? I'm just thinking about we will break the universe at that point. Yes,
right. It's like making a sequel to the Butterfly Effect. Yeah,
right.
Oh yeah, they did that.
Yeah,
not very well.
Again, sometimes when you make a trilogy, you stop at two. Sometimes you make a sequel, you should just stick with the first one.
Right.
Butterfly Effect. By the way, when we prevent some time to our favorite time travel movies, Butterfly Effect is. I mean, when I look at the Ashton Kutcher filmography. It ain't great, but Butterfly Effect is definitely towards the top there. Absolutely.
Right. Dude, sweet.
And the soundtrack kicked ass. The soundtrack is just amazing.
Agree.
Yep. Anything that's heavy in Oasis works for me.
Yep. Now, my favorite, all-time favorite Denzel movie. Brian, do you have a guess?
I'm going to guess Book of Eli.
No. Actually, Book of Eli did not make my list.
Okay.
It probably should have because I do dig that movie a lot.
You know, and if you're saying your list, I'm thinking about, wait, what? How did I miss? Yeah, please go ahead.
My favorite Denzel Washington movie is Glory. Glory.
I almost went there for favorite, but I thought the action may win out with Book of Eli. Okay.
Yeah. I love American history.
Yes.
Especially military.
Sure.
Give me anything really from the Civil sense. War.
Yep.
Anything that I'm going to learn something.
Yep.
Especially in a movie like that. Because I mean, this came out when I was, I was in.
Sure.
I wasn't even a teenager yet, but it's one of those movies. But you can watch. And when you turn on
over Glory, and over again, yes.
You watch it. You don't, yeah. It's not in the background.
Yeah, you're not folding laundry. You're not making popcorn. This is where we're at. Absolutely.
Right, yep. Right. And it's real. You know,
like, it's really real. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, Glory deserves your attention.
Absolutely.
And that is why Glory is my number one.
That is a great list. We have on here. Before I get to my list, we have three movies that are in both of our lists. Two of the three are in the same place. So out of our five movies, just to clarify the numbers, so of our five movies, we have three of the five are on the both lists, and two of the three are in the same spot.
I cannot wait. Brian, give it to
me. Yes, sir. All right. So first off, I'm going to start with my honorable mentions as well. So my first honorable mention, I had an extra honorable mention. But that says I was doing my list. My son and I are discussing my list. And this, we while not making my honorable mention list, which I think maybe should have, would have been his number one Denzel movie. And that is Man on Fire. That would have been his number one. It did not make my original honorable mention list, but I'm going to throw it in there for Brendan Dennis's favorite Denzel movie. The rest of my honorable mention list are as follows. I really love Denzel in his really good, gritty drama. So John Q, which as a father always speaks to me of if my son needed a heart and I'm the only person that can do that, I can totally put myself in that space. Just love that. Which maybe just says a lot about me. A movie that I do watch, honestly, just for fun because I love it so much over and over again, is Philadelphia. So I watched Philadelphia several times. Next up is a movie that I don't think should have gotten did not get the love it should have gotten because it's probably the best movie in John Travolta's career, which is The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Raleigh remake, I think is superior to the first. And again, without a doubt, which proves to you, it's kind of like being in a wrestling match with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat or Ric Flair. He makes you better. So definitely,
woo!
Yes, sir. Definitely going with Pelham 1-2-3. Another one that is, and another example of this is he probably created the best move in Chris Pine's career in Unstoppable. Okay, next up we have American Gangster. Fantastic movie.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
Fantastic. And the whole thing with it, when I was going through his IMDb and his filmography, even on Wikipedia, I tried to hold my honorable mentions to five, so I wanted no more than 10 Denzel movies. It was really hard. And then last up, just because I think it bears mentioning, is his turn as Malcolm X. I think it's a very powerful movie, and I think he just did a great job there. All right, so with that being said, next up are the movies that are my top five, and my number five slot actually was also your number five.
Nice.
Remember the Titans. I will have you know, Bradley, the second thing I ever watched on Disney Plus. So the first thing I watched on Disney Plus was the entire reason a lot of us got Disney Plus was for The Mandalorian.
Right.
So right after I watched The Mandalorian, I quickly went through the movies, and Remember the Titans was there. So great film. I was one of the first movies with Ryan Gosling. This fantastic. We are the Titans, the mighty, mighty Titans. Mm. All right. Next, and again, also my favorite football movie as well. Next up, your number one, my number four is Glory. Now, here's why Glory is my number four. Because it's kind of a performance punisher, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It has such a strong cast, it's hard to say it's a Denzel movie. Matthew Broderick, Morgan Freeman, Andre Brower. I mean, they just have such a phenomenal cast. But we all, and I sometimes mock this, but I mean it. That scene where he's going to be whipped and just the righteous indignation he has in that scene. He rips off the shirt. He puts his hands against the tree. You can see the scars from the previous whippings he's had as he's a former slave. And as he's whipped, he locks eyes with Matthew Broderick. And through Matthew Broderick, we're seeing him lock eyes with the audience. And he does the coolest tear ever. The fact that, you can't control your tears, but if you can, this would be it. Well, he had the one tear. And it's just at that moment, I remember hearing my mom go, he just won the Academy Award. Just with that one moment, and he did. And that was his first Academy Award. By the way, he's won two, probably should have won many, many more. Yep. But that one there. Next up, where we have something in common is number three, The Bone Collector. Awesome. Now, I like the short-lived NBC show better than you did, but that's okay. You can't go wrong with The Bone Collector. As he pays Lincoln Grimes, a quadriplegic who was injured in a subway accident when he was tracking down a serial killer. Again, Angelina Jolie. You know what? If it was Ashley Judd, it would have probably worked equally as well for lots of reasons.
Yeah, she's busy doing a lot of those movies too at the time.
Yes. I just think Morgan and Denzel, Ashley and Angelina. I think we just have, again, that would be the main event tag team match of WrestleMania right there. Fantastic. The entirety of the movie, Queen Latifah was in it. Again, kind of interesting. She took the titular role of the Equalizer. Again, just fantastic. Great film is there. And then my number two, which I thought would have been your number one, but did not make the list, was also not a honorable mention, is The Book of Eli. Just again, a badass movie where if you've not seen Book of Eli, it's in a post-apocalyptic world where they don't explain it too much, basically we're led to believe the ozone layer has completely just been eaten away, and it's just sunlight upon sunlight, which is so harsh. There's very little food. People turn to cannibalism. There's a Washington place, The Walker. What a badass name, right? And with his entire goal just to get the Book of Eli, which is turns out to be a Bible, but a very special Bible. And this is one of the things. So again, as me and my son were talking about, this would have been my number two, also his number two. The reveal is we were in the theaters watching this. The reveal of not only that it's a Bible, which you find out early on in the movie, but then the type of Bible that it is. Bradley, do you remember the type of Bible that is the Book of Eli?
I do not.
It is a Braille Bible. Eli is blind.
That is right.
And that is the big reveal, in that Eli, as we talked in our war report, Jennifer Beals also plays a blind individual. And again, Gary Oldman, in this film. So you just see, it's just a fantastic movie. Again, another movie with a wonderful soundtrack, probably Mila Kunis's best role as well. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're gonna share screen space with Denzel, you better bring it. By the way, before I get to my number one, the movie that if I could cast, I don't even know the movie, but the two people that I want in the movie so bad is Al Pacino and Denzel Washington. I don't care if they're doing a soap commercial. I just want these two people to share screen space and do what they do.
How have they never been in a movie together?
I don't know. I was just scanning my brain. I go, I don't think those two have ever been. And then you would think it's got to have happened. But there's such a big deal of heat of getting Pacino and De Niro together. Yeah. You got to give me Pacino and Denzel. You got to give it to Pacino and Denzel. All right. Last up is my number one. My number one, which is where you led off with your honorable mentions, is, again, his other Oscar award-winning role as Alonzo, the baddest cop ever, who whipped Ethan Hawke's ass up and down the screen, Training Day. So you mentioned, again, you've only seen Training Day once or twice.
Yeah.
So this completely relates to this. I'm a bad, bad dad. Here's why I say I'm a bad, bad dad. When Training Day came out, not only did I watch it in the movie theaters, but I immediately, to show you my age, bought the VHS. And then later the DVD. It was those things that I played all the time, to the point that my son, I've only seen it a couple of times, but there's this great monologue by Denzel when he is trying to pay off the Russian mobsters who are going to kill him if he doesn't pay off, I think it's $1 million. And there's this great monologue he has directed at the residents of this apartment project complex that he basically runs, where he is talking about how he will send them all to Pelican Bay under lockdown, all these great things. My son, this, by the way, this soliloquy is full of swear words. Just my son at, I think, 5, learned to not say those words. But if you get a chance, you can just, I'll probably even send it to you. You can just watch that on YouTube, just watch that very specific scene. But that just makes it, because every time I watch the movie, and I do watch it really regularly, I see my son in his Pokemon underoos doing Denzel as Alonzo in that tale. So again, that kind of warms me up a little bit. So great. But yes, my number one is Denzel Washington in Training Day. So those are my top 5 when it comes to Mr. Denzel.
Apparently Training Day is on HBO Max.
Well, that again, of the things that I may watch,
I will also check that
top
out.
10. Yes.
That is definitely one of those movies that you always have to go back to every now and then. That one definitely deserves another watch. Brian, great, great top 5 honorable mentions and everything. I dig it. I like that we had some crossover.
I love that you had some of the ones, I think this plays to every actor's catalog, especially someone with the depth that Denzel has. There are movies that I watch all the time that you've only seen a couple times. There's movies you watch all the time that I've only, like Deja Vu. I think I've seen Deja Vu twice as well.
Yeah.
But then there's other movies that we didn't mention. There's Two Guns. There's Lady in the Blue Dress.
Yeah, Courage on Fire.
Yes. Have you ever seen Heart Condition, which you have not, is fantastic.
I don't think I've ever even know what that is.
So Heart Condition, just a quick description. So, and I can't remember the name of the actor, the guy who plays Eddie the Cop in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, thank you. I thought that was enough. I thought that was wrong. So this is a great, it kind of captures some people from the early 90s. You have him. You've seen the Vito Schwarzenegger movie, Twins.
Yeah.
Okay, so the woman who plays Chloe, Danny DeVito's girlfriend, she plays the love interest of Bob Hoskins.
Okay.
And she's a prostitute. So Denzel plays this high-powered, slick lawyer, basically the opposite of the lawyer he plays in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Denzel is killed. Hoskins, who's this chubby, overweight, this filthy cat, needs a heart transplant. They transplant Denzel into Hoskins. When they transplant Denzel into Hoskins, they transplant Denzel's soul into Bob Hoskins. When you get Denzel as a ghost, advising this guy he can't stand as they try and save this woman who they both know through different ways, the Chloe character. It is just a great, for as ludicrous as it sounds, it's a very realistic movie, and it plays, they just both do such a great job in it that, again, if you ever get a chance to watch Heart Condition, it's just, again, a really, really good movie. One of those, and I think it came out between other, like, larger Denzel projects. I think he might have even still been doing Saint Elsewhere when this movie came out, but it really is just a very, I won't say it's little known. It's not, you don't find it pushing some of his other works. Again, they're just a really, really good movie.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely, if I see it around, I'll definitely give it a watch. And
absolutely.
Brian, let's go ahead and get into the tats here.
Boom. All right. So I'll lead with my tat, which my tat is the riddle of the week. So,
all right. As always, I'm on a roll. I've been on a roll.
Yes, you are. You are three for three the last 3 weeks. All right. So before we get in, just to be fair, I will say this. So with this one, this is this riddle is not a character, not an actor, but a film.
Okay.
So this is a film. Okay.
Okay.
And so as always, when we do these, Bradley, I will read as many times as you want. I can even parse it out, but you get three guesses. You get three questions and three guesses. Let's see if you can get it. All right. So this will be week number four if you get it. Here we go.
The press is on.
Yes, sir. I'm proud of this. I think I made this one rhyme. I think we did good. All right, here we go. All for one and one for all. This silent trio refuses to fall. They are able to chase while standing still. Tall and short will drink their fill. Little saints request their aid, hopeful that their handsome terror will soon fade. Two insignificant letters led us astray. It would take a little luck and getting dusty to save the day. What is the film?
I'm going to go straight for a guess here.
All right.
Three Amigos.
Damn it. Four for four.
It was Dusty.
Was it a Dusty that gave it to you?
It was Dusty. I thought the first time I got the Three Musketeers. I'm like, okay, three. And then as you're going, like, oh boy, not. What? Then when you said Dusty, I was like,
yep.
Three Amigos.
There it is. So just to unpack it a little bit. So All for One and One for All, a Three Musketeers reference, but Silent Trio refuses to fall. They were three silent movie stars. They're able to chase while standing still, Chevy Chase, and Tall and Short, Martin Short, will drink their fill. Little Saints, the Little Saints, the town that they're in, it's called Santo Poco. Poco means a little bit, so little saints. Request their aid. Hopefully they're handsome. Again, handsome in Spanish is guapo. El guapo is the villain in it. The handsome terror will soon fade. Two insignificant letters led us astray. So, Bradley, let's see if you know the movie. Again, it is Three Amigos, one of my favorite movies.
Right.
What are the two insignificant letters that lead them astray? It's a major plot point in how they have to get the Amigos to come to Santo Poco. Two letters?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
Yeah. So I remember this because, again, the nerd that I am, this actually made me go and look something up in the dictionary. As they are trying to send, they send a telegraph to the Three Amigos. Remember, for the folks in Santa Poco, they don't realize that the movies that the Three Amigos are in are actually movies. They think these are real heroes. By the way, think about the appropriation that this Mexican town goes and asks these three white guys who are supposed to be the Three Amigos, right?
Yeah.
So there's of the things of the movie that's maybe a little icky in 2022 eyes. Okay.
Right.
With that being said, they don't have enough money to write the full telegram that they want to. So to describe El Guapo, they have all these things. He's horrible. He's evil. He's all these things. Because they couldn't do that. The telegraph sender picks a word that he says means all those things, which is the word infamous. I-N-F-A-M-O-U-S. When the amigos receive it, they don't understand that infamous is not a negative because they just get stuck on the word famous. Which is in infamous.
Yes.
And I remember going literally to my mom's bedroom, grabbing the dictionary and looking up infamous and famous to try to understand, because little brother, I don't understand what this means. And then the tail end of it, again, you did a great job getting this. The tail end of it would be, it would take a little luck. One of the stars' name is Lucky, and getting Dusty, which you said gave it away to you, to save the day. And absolutely, it is the wonderful, somewhat icky or problematic, but great fun movie, The Three Amigos. As I put my hands on my hips and do a quick thrust of,
yes,
because we are the Three Amigos, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, so again, if you don't know Three Amigos, folks, check it out. It is a really funny movie.
It is. Just if you watch it, make sure you put on the on your 1984, 85 glasses.
Yep. Yes. And just to hear the Chevy, I'm hearing it now, when they're in the woods and Chevy Chase starts singing all the desert creatures by his dulcet tones. And again, with Martin Short, who, by the way, Martin Short's probably 40 years old when this movie came out, was supposed to be a kid. And he kind of whistles and does the whole, like, almost like in a Disney film when a Disney princess whistles and the birds.
Yeah.
He has apparently mapped the same creatures of a power creature who are in the Mexican desert. So, yeah. All right. Three Amigos. But I am dying for your tat. So you said you got a new one.
I do.
I'm really excited to hear what this one is.
So, Brian, my tat is called Hunting Season.
Are we hunting rabbits? Oh, I'm sorry. Wabbits. Wabbits.
Wasquey Wabbit. All right. Yes. So here is the rules of the game.
Okay, I'm excited.
All right, so in this situation, you're gonna have to prepare for a fight.
Okay,
I'm gonna give you a list of 6 movie characters. You get to pick one to be on your team. Rest of the other 5 are gonna come after you, and it's their main goal is to kill you.
Doesn't not my partner, your partner, me.
Not your partner, you.
Okay.
You get one gun. One handgun, one clip of ammo. And that now all the aggressors and your partner get the same.
Okay.
All right.
Everyone gets one gun. Everyone gets one clip of ammo.
All right. You get a pick from 1, John Wick. 2, Punisher. 3, Jason Bourne. 4, The Equalizer.
I'm sorry. Just to clarify, we're talking old British guy Equalizer, Denzel Equalizer, Queen Latifah Equalizer.
Well, since this has been a Denzel show, let's stick with Denzel Equalizer.
Okay. All right.
All right. And then the transporter, the Jason Statham transporter. And then last but not least, one Bond, James Bond.
Okay, and again, are we talking Connery? Which Bond are we talking?
Let's go Craig. Well, you know, you pick. You get a pick. What Bond?
Okay, I'm gonna fight. Then I want the, because I'm not picking James Bond. I want the weakest James Bond I can think of. So I'm going Pierce Brosnan. Okay, because right, I just feel like if I had the numbers, I'm taking Pierce Brosnan.
All right.
Well, I'm not even going to hesitate here. I think the writing on the wall of who I'm taking, if I got one clip of ammo and one gun to be my partner and to watch my back, it is the one and only John Wick. There's not even any debate there. Okay, so it's me and Wick versus the Punisher, which I think, again, of all the people in the Marvel Universe who don't impress me, the Punisher, I'm thinking there's some people, I think Punisher I'm not really too worried about.
Yeah.
Jason Bourne could be problematic. Denzel Equalizer could be problematic. Again, James Bond is Pierce Brosnan, and then the transporter, who again, more vehicle skills. I'll take John Wick's gung fu over the Transporters car food any day of the week. So, all right. So that's my choice. So what, how do we progress now?
All right. Tell me, Brian.
Yes.
How do you and your pick of John Wick survive from the ambush of Punisher, Jason Bourne, the Equalizer, the Transporter, and James Bond?
All right. So first thing we do is that if Wick and I are in this fighting area and you invade with the other five, I think first off, what we do is that we use the Punisher to our advantage. So the Punisher's a hothead. The Punisher's weight has honestly more weaponry to the point of being redundant and ridiculous. So I think what we can use is through distraction, we can have the Punisher actually probably get rid of James Bond for us. So I think what happens is Wick engages with Punisher, incites him to fire a large weapon, let's say like a small missile. Wick has the ability to get out of the way, takes out Bond, and in the moment of maybe some momentarily pause, me as the partner, I hop up, but I come behind Punisher, and what we do is a quick one to the temple. So now we're done with Bourne, and we're done with James Bond, and we're done with the Punisher. And more importantly, we are going to be able to use Punisher's gun and remaining bullets. So
no, now no. You only get one gun with one.
Wait, I can't. Bullet. I can't take.
No. No, I wait, guess I wait. I never I was not specific did, about it. The rules.
Okay, I'll play by the rules, but so you're telling me that if Punisher drops his weaponry, I can't, or anyone, they drop their weapon, I can't pick it up. All right, yep, okay, that's fine. Okay, so let's recheck the math here. Still think my initial scenario works, that we were able to trick Punisher into taking out James Bond, then we take out Punisher. So okay. Now it is 2-on-3, and those three that are remaining are going to be Jason Bourne, are going to be the Transporter, they're going to be the Denzel Equalizer. All right. So now that I'm trying to take this out, as much as I love Denzel, I got to engage with Denzel next, primarily because he's the biggest threat. So I want to have as much fresh ammo, fresh eyes before fatigue sets in to go with the Equalizer. So I, luckily as Brian Dennis, have the gift of gab. I engage the Equalizer in a conversation. From watching both Equalizer and Equalizer 2, the Equalizer has no problem sitting down talking to his foes, to his prey. So if I'm able to engage him in contact, that leaves then Jason Bourne and the Transporter trying to take out John Wick. Again, I feel that Wick's ability and his wherewithal to not use guns could be helpful as well, as he manages to take out the Punisher by sabotaging the vehicle, maybe tying his hands to the steering wheel, and he's going to take out the Transporter. So now that leaves myself in deep conversation with Denzel the Equalizer and John Wick taking on Jason Bourne. That's pretty much, I think, an even fight at this point. So now, again, going back to Bourne versus Wick, they're going to now engage in their full stealthy gung-fu battle. If I'm going to go complete nervous, part of me wants to call Hawkeye, because he could show Jason Bourne. Renner could go, you know, I am still better than Jason. But since you didn't throw that as an option, we're just going to have, at this point, the battle between Bourne and Wick. They quickly will both expend their bullets trying to hit each other, and so they're out of ammo. So at this point, we get a hand-to-hand combat between, again, Jason Bourne and John Wick. And while John Wick definitely takes a beating, I could see him taking out Bourne in a hand-to-hand. However, and this is the big however, given that Denzel is Denzel, as the fight is finishing, a la Punisher, a la Peacemaker versus Rick Flagg, as he has Jason Bourne flat on his back, beating him into submission, while I feel that I'm engaging Denzel the Equalizer in full conversation, he quickly lifts his gun without even taking a long look fires the gun and takes out Wick from behind, because that honestly the only way you're going to stand a chance against John Wick is if he's distracted, if you can attack him from behind, quick shot to the forehead, take him out. So now that leaves myself and the Equalizer. So let's check the math here. So Denzel as the Equalizer has the one gun, but he has exhausted a couple shots out of the clip from earlier battles, especially taking out the Equalizer. I myself have not actually had to fire my weapon. I know I have more ammo. However, I don't feel that I have the combat skills necessary to take out Denzel in one fell swoop. So at this point, I continue to try, a la the Dread Pirate Roberts, to talk my way out of this without engaging in a sword battle, because while I am not left-handed, I have also not been trained in sword fighting. So it is down to myself and the Equalizer. This starts off with hand-to-hand. I quickly know that I cannot beat him by a hand-to-hand, so I run off to find a safer ground. He, with that Denzel smooth stroll, just walks behind me, no rush, because he knows he's got me. What winds up happening here is we're going through the train. I think the only chance I have of defeating the Equalizer is to attack him from higher ground and jump down to try and hopefully land on his back to unarm him. And while you said this is my goal, I got to be fair and I think sincere in this. I think despite Brian Dennis's best efforts, if it's a fair fight, gun to gun, bullet to bullet, no matter what I did, but I will make it tough. We all know, and it's fair, and it is his day on the podcast. Unfortunately, Brian Dennis would fall to Denzel Washington, the one true Equalizer.
Brian, that was pretty darn awesome, sir. I like it a lot. So
That was fun.
So I got the idea on one of those Facebook things that I was scrolling by. I'm like, you know, sure. One's on your team, the rest are going to come get you. I'm like, yeah, let's do that today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I love it. So,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, it just hit me today because, again, this morning I had a little time on my hands because before I went and ran some errands, went and got my hair cut. So, again, one of the great things I love on HBO that you have so much of the DC universe. So I wound up watching Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix movie, and it hit me. And I'm sure everyone probably knows, but I don't know why it took up my brain to connect with this. And I did not get a chance to look it up, but I will before we film, before next week's podcast. But I believe this is true. Joker may be the only character in which the Academy Award for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor was won by two different people playing the same character, but in two different unrelated movies. Being that Joaquin Phoenix, aka Leif Phoenix, mm-hmm. from his Parenthood days, won for Best Actor. A lead actor, while the indomitable Heath Ledger, RIP, won playing Joker from The Dark Knight as well. So again, neither The Dark Knight nor Joker are aligned films because, you know, Joaquin Phoenix does not swallow razor blades. Why so serious? But they're both just fantastic roles. But it just hit me today that I think that maybe in some movie trivia someplace, given those types of things, two actors in unrelated films playing the same character, both winning Academy Awards. So again, which is further proof why the Joker may be the best character in comics right now.
I agree. I do agree. Joker gets overused. And that's like Batman keeps the DC comics alive, yep. Unfortunately. Batman.
I know where you're going with it.
Yeah, Batman could almost be his own imprint. And I do think that DC relies too heavily on Batman. And it's true. I mean, the Bat family is, it's just too good, right? I mean, right. Especially when you're coming to comics. I mean, you have Nightwing. You have, I mean, like right now, Red Hood is leading a team of zombies. It's Task Force Z. Task Force Zombies. But again, if you can associate your book with Batman, you're going to do okay.
Right.
All of the Superman titles are failing, which, you know, I tried, but all right. But the Son of Kal-El is horrible.
Gotcha.
It's bad. You know, like, and it's one thing to know what you're trying to do and you're trying to hit those socials check marks,
yep.
which is fine. But when you force it and it doesn't come out good, you're hurting it. You know, if you can do it organically, you're fine. But if they play
with the idea of the Red Sun and the Red Sun and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Before. But again, similar to Superman Reflects, Superman's an orphan. Both Bruce and Kal-El are orphans. The only difference is Bruce had his parents through at least a decent amount of his childhood, and he was raised in the most common version. He was raised by his father's hand-picked guardian, which so he still got his parental, and he was of means and all these sorts of things. Versus Kal-El come from another planet, his entire framework of humanity is based on in the main canon the Kents, but every time they change that group that raised him, he fundamentally changed, usually not for the better.
Yeah.
But again, if you make it too heavy-handed, it's hard to stay in the comic. It's hard to stay in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. And the, you know, Justice League, it just gets out there. I mean, right. I'm not happy with most of DC Comics right now. And I'm a DC guy. Yeah. I'm a DC Comics guy. And I gave up on Justice League because it just got dumb. I mean, they brought in this cool team with like Black Adam and stuff like that.
Sure.
And they brought in this like multiversal thing, which was kind of cool. And I followed it for about 10 issues, and like four of the 10 issues was just bad. I mean, the art wasn't even that great in it, you know?
Okay.
And you gotta have at least good art, you know, right. You gotta have more than just a good cover.
Absolutely.
And like, I'm a huge Green Lantern fan and Green Arrow fan.
Yep.
And they're doing one thing with Green Arrow, which is actually kind of cool. There's a mini series with him and Aquaman where Oliver Queen and Arthur Curry kind of switch spots. So Arthur Curry was kind of the Green Arrow. Yeah, it's cool. When it's over, I'll let you read it. But DC Comics, do something, because I want to buy more comics from you. But right now you suck.
And this is always, I think, because this is unprecedented. Truthfully, we live in an unprecedented time when you look at the world of comics, in that they've turned both Marvel and DC, more Marvel than DC, I think we look at probably earnings. But they are now not just comics, I shouldn't say it like dismissively, they are not only comic book companies, they make movies.
Mm-hmm.
And movies have a wider reach. Movies can be monetized a million different ways. You turn them into action figures. You have costumes. I mean, Marvel has ruled Halloween for the past decade. They really have. So with all those sorts of things, you wonder why you would expect them to be different divisions, but how much is it, how much of your best of your talent pool gets pulled into making sure you make good movies? And Marvel makes a lot of good movies. DC makes a couple good movies. You're curious how much, and by good, I mean something I rewatch again, which is basically been Zack Snyder's Justice League, the original Wonder Woman, and Shazam. You know, the Justice League we got was not the Justice League movie we were looking for or we deserved. Mm-hmm. Aquaman was decent. I mean, it's rife for a sequel, whether we get one or not. It's rife for a sequel.
But we're getting it.
Because I mean, everything is built for Black Adam, and I really, to me, Black Adam, to me, Black Manta stole that movie.
Yeah,
they lost me when let's go find Atlanteans in the desert. I was like, yes, I understand water's everywhere, but come on now.
Yeah.
And Momoa's hair is just too perfect, but it's jealous. I'm living the haterade right now.
Right.
But yeah, I it is sad because it does feel like the companies can't do all things well. Mm-hmm. So if you're gonna get good movies, you're gonna get less comic book intensity, and same thing if you're the better your comics are, maybe the less of your animated or live action films are. So that's that's unfortunate. But again, Superman also I think is just one of those characters. It's hard to, you're gonna have him be known. It's really hard to make I think him a sympathetic creature, and then I think that's what you need to make your comic book stories palatable for sale and resell. Absolutely. He's just a, Superman is a very tough character to establish the humanity in for people to really care about.
Yeah, and we all want to like Superman. I mean, well, I love Superman and Lois, the show, but I mean, we all want to like Superman, but especially in those, in the comics, they're just not good. So, I mean, I would not spend my money on a Superman comic right now. Mm-hmm. Like I probably wouldn't even read it if it was given to me for free. You know, I'd look at the art, go through it, and like, okay, whatever, you know. But Batman keeps DC alive because Batman has a lot of good titles. Detective Comics is good. I mean, Batman is good. I mean, and then he had all of his supporting characters. You have Nightwing. If you have listened to
you love you some Nightwing, episode, it's okay.
Right. You know, I'm a big Nightwing fan. Yeah. So, I mean,
entire Bat family, whether it's Nightwing, any of the Robins, Huntress, Red Hood, Catwoman, Batgirl, Batwoman, Bat Knight, Black Bat. I mean, we keep playing with all that. The stories of, I love any story that focus on the Gotham PD. Mm-hmm. You've got Commissioner Gordon, again, Oracle, who again, I believe it was last week, your daughter asked, who would I prefer? I think it was Batwoman, Batgirl, or Supergirl, and my answer went, it still is the same, Catwoman. Right. But, I mean, there's just so much depth within Batman that is helpful. Unfortunately, it either isn't there or it just hasn't been developed the same way with Superman and a lot of the other counterparts. It just isn't quite there. You're right. Batman keeps DC floating.
Yep. All right. Well, with that being said, we are super excited for the Batman movie to come out in less than a month.
And we will be be going to it. Yes.
All right.
Bend of the Nerves at the movies.
Yes. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Facebook, Brian Stephen Dennis. As I said, because of Black History Month every day, I will be talking about something that I view as really cool about Black culture. Today, my post was about New Edition, the single greatest boy band ever. If you like NSYNC, if you like Boys to Men, then you understand Backstreet Boys, all those groups. For those of us in our late 30s and 40s, even One Direction, that formula was taken from New Edition and how then you gotta love Bobby Brown and someone that can take America's Sweetheart and Whitney Houston and, you know, totally cause her to give up her career do a list of things. You gotta be like, dude, Bobby Brown is a great, real quick Bobby Brown story. I think I might post him on Bobby later this month. There's a behind the music So when they do the behind the music on the Years of New Edition, they talk to the security guards, which I think is always great because they're the ones that were around these kids legitimately all the time. And they talked about how you would supervise Bobby Brown different than the rest of the New Edition kids. So if every other member of New Edition, here's your supervision. You make sure you got the homework done. You want to go to bed a decent hour. And you really lock up the liquor because they're kids and they're in these really nice hotel suites. They have mini bars. So, hey, we just want to make sure you don't get the mini bar. Fine. With Bobby Brown, the security had to lock up their car keys because he was known for stealing the cars to go out, not to meet up with the teenage girls who were fans, but, sir, with their moms. Bobby Brown is the man, okay? It is his prerogative. And that's why he is forever going to be like, if the Friends of the Nerds ever becomes a movie, somehow Bobby Brown's got to play me. I'm not sure how we work that, but it will either be Bobby Brown or Keenan Mitchell. One of the two. Right, so okay. that would be that. Maybe young Brian is Keenan and old decrepit Brian is Bobby Brown. RIP.
I like
how
you worked my prerogative in there too, by the way. That was nice.
Did you like that?
That was very absolutely good. Very good.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So anyway, that was my really quick aside, but you can always find me on Facebook. Feel free to like my post, a follow, give me a friend request. But again, hopefully everything, if you like my randomness that happens on the podcast, you just get it written for them on Facebook. So
yeah, and if you have any ideas of things you want us to talk about on the show,
yes,
let us
know.
So
yes.
All right. So thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Live free or die empty, friends. Have a great day.
No retreat, no surrender. What?